Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and we're going to be talking all about Michigan Tech today. And to help me do that, I have the president of the university, Glenn Ross. Glenn, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Rick. Glad to be here.
It's always nice to have you. And, you know, this time of year is an exciting time because, you know, it's sort of like that spring hope, you know, hope springs eternal with the new crop of students coming in, new freshman class. And, you know, I kind of enjoyed watching things from a different perspective this year, this of course being my first year as a Michigan Tech parent, and being able to enjoy some of the events that could take place both last spring and this summer and starting here in early fall that are geared for the families of students that are coming in. My daughter starting this week, actually. And seeing it from the perspective of somebody not covering it on the news, but actually being part of it. And I'll just hand it to you and the people at Michigan Tech. You guys do a wonderful job making families feel welcome.
Well, thanks. We work pretty hard at that. Early on, we endeavored to be FedEx quick and Disney friendly, and that was something some people didn't like to hear, but I think parents really like to hear it, especially when they're moving their son or daughter into the dorms and they can get some help doing it. But it's really interesting, you know, when you talk about Michigan Tech, and we're kind of far away from places, so making parents feel comfortable, before they even get here, and then while they're here, it's really important, you know, because if they don't think this is a safe place or a friendly place, you know, little red flags, or at least yellow flags, start to go up, and they start to question things. So we really work hard. So it's good to hear, you know, from folks in the area that send their kids to Tech, and there's many of them who then start to see what the core business of Michigan Tech really is about.
It's also nice to see you out and about, you know, meeting new students and talking with different people. Do you get a feel from one class to another about, you know, what you sort of have coming into the school?
Well, of course, with your daughter in this class, it's probably the best class ever. There's more women in this class, so that's really a great thing. So we've been balancing their gender out in the class, and the interest of the students is really really heightened, because, you know, Michigan Tech's always been kind of a place where people prepare to do something. And I think the more and more you see that in the students coming in, they want to do something. They either want to prepare themselves to work for somebody else, or they want to prepare themselves to start their own business. Some of them come in with ideas already of inventions that they want to make, and naturally we want to really encourage them to pursue that, because, you know, it's pursuing dreams is what education is all about.
You also have a very diverse student body as well, and seeing a lot of international students that continue to pick Michigan Tech. And that always fascinates me when, you know, talking to somebody from Mumbai, you know, and they're like, yeah, I wanted to go to Michigan Tech, you know, and going, out of all the places in the world, Michigan Tech was, you know, a household name in places like India and other parts of the world.
Yeah, asking some of the students that were coming in, you know, how did you find out about Michigan Tech? You know, naturally, internet. Second, maybe more importantly, was they heard about it from a friend or somebody who graduated from Michigan Tech and say, well, why did you you looked at a map, obviously, to see that we're the Upper Peninsula of the Upper Peninsula, and they say, yeah, we saw that, and but we noted that it's one of the best places to go for what I'm interested in, and that's really the key to so much of what we do. Is to it's the second goal of our strategic plan, is to be distinctive, not to be everything for everybody, but to do the things that we can do as well as we can do them. And I think that's really noticed of even 7,000-8,000 miles away.
Yeah. I was treated one time attending something at Michigan Tech where the presenter sort of went over the history of the school back to its old mining college days, and I found that really interesting. But I also noted that there was a conscious effort to change the approach of the university within the last couple of decades to, you know, a research university that was actually not just teaching, but was actually developing and creating new technologies.
Yeah, you know, Ray Smith was president when I was a student at Michigan Tech, and he turned 100 this year, so he is just a storehouse of knowledge. He's got a mind that I wish I had. He just remembers everything. But Ray came in as president and really had the idea that if we were going to be a university of some consequence, and especially a technological university that really mattered, that we were going to have to do more in the research mode and not simply teaching out of books, but teaching out of experience. And we've always had people who have come in with experience from corporations and things like that, but not everybody. And to have that balance of having people with both the corporate experience and also the research experience, you know, pushing those boundaries out of where science and engineering are going. I think that was really an important move on his part, and you know, over the years, it through different economic times, things have gone up and down. But lately, I think we've really, you know, kept our foot on the gas to really build that. And when I talk to him, he's pretty proud of it.
Just some of the things that are going on at Michigan Tech in this new era of research. And I'm quoting here from Jen Donovan from Tech Today, but she lists these four different projects of Environmental Protection Agency, Regional Environmental Finance Center, Department of Energy Advanced Research Projects Agency Energy, the National Aeronautics Space Administration Space Technology Research Institute, Department of Transportation Beyond Traffic Innovation Center. Those sound like a whole lot of words. There's details on any of those on KimonoReport.com. But it just, you know, it kind of shows, you know, what you were just talking about. I mean, you guys are really changing the world.
Yeah, and the important part about those particular projects is they're really big. We've got a number of our faculty that are moving from, you know, the individual effort, which is great, but to manage larger projects where you have a number of different universities involved, and with those projects you just mentioned, we have GM, Oak Ridge National Labs, Ohio State, Penn State, Purdue, UC Berkeley, University of Michigan, University of Minnesota, NASA, MIT, Johns Hopkins, pretty well-known places who are basically part of the projects that our faculty members and staff members have written and are managing. And to be able to draw the talent in from these other universities really says something about the people that we've been able to get to come to Michigan Tech, and they're thriving in Michigan Tech. And really, the people have oftentimes say, you know, we need to move to the next level. And I say, well, just make sure that level is up, not down. And I think this is good evidence that, you know, when you have people from places like these who want to work with you, that shows respect, and it shows respect for the intellectual horsepower we have here on campus.
And Michigan Tech will virtually be able to stamp their name on a number of things that are going to define the future, whether they're manned missions to Mars, driverless cars, those type of, you know, world-changing events, products, and projects that Michigan Tech is intricately part of on the ground floor of making those things really happen.
Yeah, you know that, and it's really interesting when the students are involved in these things. I think an awful lot of people probably are familiar with Brad King, you know, local guy, grew up here, got his education, is working at Michigan Tech, and he was working with a group of students to design and build a satellite that will actually get launched in February of this year. And it's just an amazing process. You know, the students were in a competition, and there were a lot of schools that I mentioned earlier that are on the East Coast and the West Coast, and our students did better than everybody, and everybody discovered that there's a North Coast to the United States.
Good, yeah, good. But it's on the map because we often left off a map. So. Yeah. Now, with all the good that's being done at Michigan Tech, it would seem like a no-brainer that it would be a great investment for the state to support its secondary funding. Doesn't always work out to be the case. There's been cuts in recent, in years past, there's been some money that's come back to it. Where do we stand if you were to compare now and, say, 8 years ago, where funding stands?
Yeah, well, I could go back even before that. By the time 8 years ago came, people in universities in Michigan, as well as other agencies, were pretty, we were experts at taking cuts. A lot of them started with the Granholm governorship, and in 2002 we were at like a $55.2 million appropriation, and eventually that got whittled down to 40, which is a huge decrease, and now we're back up to about 49. So some of that has come back, and those aren't adjusted for inflation. If we had that $55 million today, that would be like $74 million, and you can just imagine what that would mean for the local area here to have that much more in terms of growth of the university.
For any student or parent of a student, which I am, tuition comes into play when you're picking out a school and deciding if you've got the money to be able to do it. Does that lack of funding affect how tuition rates are set?
Oh, absolutely. In the state, several reports just out of the Senate and the House fiscal agencies, have noted that you can pretty much tag the entire increase in tuition to cuts in funding. In addition to the cuts directly to the university, our students lost about $3.5 million in other financial aid that the state was providing. You might remember the Michigan Promise grants at one time. That promise didn't last very long. The thing that we look at from the tuition standpoint is where we are on the, do we deliver value? And the thing that we want to make clear to the students is that we are committed to doing our job at Michigan Tech, and if the students do their job, they have a great shot at being successful. And if you see some of the rankings that include the value of the degree once you graduate, in terms of starting salary, mid-career salary, Money Magazine has us near the top. I think we've had like the sixth highest starting salary, something like that. Overall, and recently Forbes magazine, another financial magazine, had us as one of the 25 best schools to study STEM in the United States. So we were real happy about that one, because there's a lot of parents, grandparents that read Forbes.
Definitely. Now for yourself, how many years would this final year make as your term as president of the university?
It will be 14 years in a few months, I'll be 66 years old, and I think you can keep telling yourself that, man, this is so much fun, I'd like to keep doing it forever, but you know you can't do it forever. And at some point, you gotta say, well, it's time to do something else.
Now, you've indicated that your intention is to go back to faculty. What would that look like?
That's a good question, you know, and I'm trying to figure that out right now. You know, I've been really emphasizing finishing things off, cleaning things up, making a real orderly transition to the presidency, so that somebody coming in is starting on a level playing field, and that it's and really that things are attractive, and we get some really good candidates for president. Going, you know, beyond that, from the get-go, the board had written in a year for me to kind of readjust to being a faculty member. That was because I had never taken a sabbatical when I got in, and they knew that I would be a little rusty on my skills, but that was only going to be after 1 year. Now, after as many years as I've been president, I'm real rusty on my original skills, and so I'm working on some ideas, particularly related to leadership and things like that. Not that I could claim to be a great leader, but I think I could coach students on some things that might be important to them as they map out their careers. Certainly, I've made enough mistakes that I can at least tell them, here's what you don't do.
Do you see yourself back in a classroom?
Probably, yeah, probably.
Okay. Looking back on the 14 years as president, you're not going to remember every goal that you set off to accomplish when you started, but you know, just looking back there, do you feel you accomplished most of them?
Yeah, well, you know, from the beginning, we had taken a strategic plan that was about almost 20 pages long and boiled down to 2 pages, and basically said our first goal was to get the best people we possibly could at Michigan Tech. Second goal was to be distinctive, not try to be everything to everybody, like I mentioned earlier. And then third, to really back that up with the research, the creativity, the entrepreneurship, the scholarship. And I think from that standpoint, we've made some pretty good strides. We didn't put any metrics. Well, we do have metrics on each one of those that we track all the time. But at the beginning, I don't think we said, okay, we're going to get to this point or that point. It was like these were overarching goals, and the tactics would come not only from the executive team, but it would also come from all the departments on campus. And basically the plan was kept simple so that, you know, when people were at work, they could ask themselves, you know, am I doing something to get the best people here? Am I doing something to make Michigan Tech more distinctive, or am I doing something to promote scholarship and leadership, scholarship and research and creativity? And you know, if you can't answer yes to one of those questions, then you got to ask, what am I doing here today?
Sure.
Yeah. And so we try to keep it real simple.
Now, as you get ready to hand that football over and somebody else is going to take over, I know you're not involved at all in the decision process that's being handled by Michigan Tech itself, but, you know, what goals remain? You know, what is the university going to need to work towards as we go towards 2020 and beyond?
Well, we've got a number of things. We came very close on a capital appropriation this year. We were really enthused as we watched the governor's speech last spring when he was unveiling his priorities, and one of them was our HSTEM building. And in the end, with the horse trading that frequently goes on in Lansing, the governor's priority wasn't the top priority of the House and the Senate, but we've been working with the House and Senate, and we're going to go after that same project coming this year. So that's a $40 million project, and that would be a big impact for the area. Many people in the area know that the Portage Health Foundation has been funding a lot of things in the local area. They've been working with us on some faculty positions. One of them just filled a few weeks ago. And, you know, it really fits with where the community is going. You know, when you take a look at the health sciences, it's really a big deal. And we're not talking about building a med school here, but we are talking about being able to be the scientific and engineering horsepower behind much of what you see. So things like dissolvable stents for heart patients, people get a stent put in and it works really great at the beginning, but over time it starts to create some problems. If that thing just dissolved on, was made out of metal that dissolved on its own, bioabsorbable, that's great. For amputees having mechanical ankles, you know, other big deals like that, you know, it's just giving people the freedom to be able to walk after losing a limb. It's just, it's those kinds of things where Michigan Tech can really pitch in. It also fits with many of the goals of the Portage Health Foundation, and I think it's an area for growth in our community.
No doubt Michigan Tech is vital to Houghton and the surrounding area, to the towns themselves, the livelihoods of people that are here. Of course, many of the people who work at Michigan Tech also live, of course, right here. Also, a lot of the students, and there's been, you know, and it's going to be an ongoing struggle as students seem to, you know, student body increases and they live more and more in town. As university president, and you hear, you know, some of the struggles of the neighborhoods with students in student housing, how do you address that with students in order to make them, you know, not just people that live here, but people that live and are part of the community here?
Yeah, that's a tough issue, because it's kind of got to get worked out, almost by property parcel, you know. And I think you've seen more new housing go up, certainly out on the more senior people would remember as the Sands. Now it's the Greens, but you know, there's apartments out there. There's apartments on College Avenue. There's apartments off of McGinnis Drive. There's a new apartment building going up there. I think that those are starting to get some traction. We put up a 196 bed residence, which I think is it's been well received, but the pressure is going to be on the community for a while. We're tuning up the 2035 portrait for Michigan Tech out to 2045, and in that document, we're anticipating a student numbers around 10,000 by 2045. We met with Eric Wara and with Glenn Anderson and talked to them about, okay, here's where we're going, where are you guys going, and here's what this means. But as I think Dave Reed said very succinctly, if we got that many students here, that means we need to add 100 beds a year until the year 2045. So when you think about that, that's a lot of beds. And we have, as a university, have thought, our bonding capacity is probably best spent on laboratories and on the core business, so to speak. We're not, our reason for being is not to house people. Our reason for being is education and science and engineering. And so that's a thing we want to emphasize first. So we want to, over time, we want to work with the community to really get people to understand that, here's what growth means.
Well, and the flip side is, you know, I don't know how many businesses, local businesses, have been created through entrepreneurs that come from Michigan Tech and in partnership with the MTech Smart Zone. So the benefit of the community, it's great enough so that the community needs to make an investment in that return.
Yeah, that's been really great. You know, the work with the Smart Zone has really worked out well. You know, a few years back, we figured out that in order to get a business into the Smart Zone, you had to have a business first. And shepherding those businesses out of the university to the Smart Zone has been a challenge. And we actually created the Entrepreneurial Support Corporation, which is a nonprofit, and then Superior Innovations, which was a for-profit where faculty, students, staff, anybody really can apply for the small business innovative research grants. Those have to go to private entities, and that's worked out. We've been starting about three companies a year. The thing about that is we'd like to get it up even higher than that, because it's like only one out of seven things works. You know, so the odds are against you still. So in order to really get up there, we're going to have more of those. And that's really been kind of part of the dream, is that we would have faculty members, staff members who would kind of rotate in and out of the university. They would, you know, they'd be faculty members, they'd be researchers, they'd start a business, get it going, probably sell the business, come back into the university as a teacher, teaching in ways that they haven't, that they didn't teach before because of the experience they had of doing that, and do the whole thing over and over again. You know, serial entrepreneurs are great people to know, and we have a few of those on campus. It's been good.
Glenn, it's been great getting to know you, and I don't expect you're going anywhere. You'll be around with the faculty, so I'm sure we'll talk again, though this may be our last time sitting down for the program, but I really appreciate all that you've done.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun. It really has.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.